It's good to be back together again today. We're living in the light of Easter, and I'm teaching from the letter of Paul to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if you're wondering what happened to our discussion in Romans, wonder no more. We will be back there on Thursday. And everything I'm saying from 1 Corinthians the first few days this week ties directly back into Romans 1, verses 16 through 17, and the gospel. So please stick with me. Yesterday, I read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 51 to 52, and began to describe to you the future event Paul the Apostle is writing about there. As a refresher, let me reread the text, and then I'll carry on. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." Last time we covered verse 51, and I ended with this question. What is the event Paul describes in verse 51? When will we not all sleep, but we will all be changed? This event, that is still future, is what will happen to Christ's people. And I said that to know what this event is that the Apostle Paul is describing, well, we have to understand verse 52. Let's talk about verse 52 in this way. Picture as I read this that it's a day just like today. It's a typical Tuesday. Life is going along as usual. Everyone's commuting, frustrated that the traffic can be this bad. You are driving along and suddenly, as fast as you can blink your eye. Now go ahead now and blink your eye. Try it. Just blink. Okay, so that fast, in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet will sound. And the dead will be raised. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, trumpet sounds, dead will be raised. That quickly, the dead are raised. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, trumpet sounds, dead will be raised. And now, of course, the logical question, what dead? Ah, here we come now back to the Christians that are already dead right now. If you have someone you know who, believing in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, has passed away, then that person is with the Lord in heaven. It is that person's body the Apostle Paul is writing about here. And then it will be the bodies of, say, you and I, alive right now, but dead by the time that this future event takes place. Remember, this event is still future. For clarity, let's take me as an example. And let's say I die sometime in the future, but before this event. Then my body will be included as, and the dead will be raised. Please note, this event will surprise us all. No one knows when it will happen. It is sudden. There is no warning. Literally, no one knows when this will happen. And do not believe anyone who tells you they know. Only God knows. The Bible never reveals an exact day, or time, or year, for this trumpet to sound, and for the dead to rise from the graves, from the tombs, and for the scattered or kept ashes to also rise. But I believe it will happen. The Bible says it will happen, and I accept that it will happen. So you say, if I understand you correctly, then very suddenly, just as quick as I can blink my eye, if we are alive on earth at this moment, then Christian people will hear a trumpet, and all the Christians dead until that point will rise from the dead. Their physical bodies are going to come out of the graves, out of the tombs, and Christians' ashes will literally be brought back together. Is that what this event is all about? And I say yes. Now, does this sound strange to you? Weird? Fascinating? Perhaps you have some questions. I can perceive three such possible questions, but if I miss the mark with these, just write to me with yours, and I will do my best to answer it. Here are mine. First, you might wonder, what will their risen bodies be like after being dead for so long? This is actually kind of disgusting. I mean, dead, centuries dead bodies coming out of their graves. All right, that's one good question that I'll answer today. Let's say you're not a Christian, then you might also wonder, what happens to the Christian who is alive, say, working with me in my office when this event takes place? Well, there's a second good question, and I'll answer that today. And thirdly, if you are not a believer in Christ, you might wonder, what happens to me and all the other people who don't believe in Christ and who are not following him as Christians? What do we do, just sit there and watch all this craziness? Well, I'll be completely honest in answering that fair question as well, but let me take these one at a time. And so first, what will their bodies be like after being dead so long? This is disgusting. Imagine the smell. The Apostle Paul answers this question in wise observation right there in verse 52. He says, the dead will be raised imperishable. Do you see that in your text? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52, the dead will be raised imperishable. The word imperishable is such a valuable word, it answers the question. This word means incorruptible. The physical body that was corrupted by death is now raised incorruptible. Or the word imperishable means immortal. This is a body that will never die. Ultimately, think of this body as perfect. What God has done in this twinkling of an eye is to make our bodies perfect, to make the Christ follower's body heavenly. God will give us glorified bodies. Yes, we will have bodies in heaven. Perfect, imperishable, incorruptible, immortal. In heaven, we will not be bodiless souls floating around on clouds. No, we will have perfect bodies. Only those who believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins will be raised at this moment and will be given these imperishable bodies. These bodies will never be sick, never be in pain, never be tired, and never, ever die. We will live forever in perfect bodies. So right now, as we speak, the Christian who has died, their souls are in the presence of Jesus in heaven, but their physical bodies are still here on earth. But at this sudden future moment, their soul will meet with their perfect, imperishable body as it rises from the dead. Literally, the graves and tombs of Christians will be empty. Up from the dead, these bodies come. But as Paul has said, they will be changed. Now let me answer the second question that can be posed by a non-believer. What happens at this future moment to the Christian who is alive, say, working with me in my office? And I am just using working with you in your office as an example. Well, they will obviously be working beside you in a physical, perishable, corrupt, mortal body. But in this sudden moment, your Christian colleague's body will be changed. Paul says this twice. In verse 51, he writes, we will all be changed. And in verse 52, we will be changed. This Christian person's body will, again, in the twinkling of an eye, that fast, be made perfect, imperishable. And then, quickly, the Christian will be gone. Poof, disappeared. Where did he go? Where did she go? In fact, you know some other Christians outside your office, and they're gone too. They have left the earth. What's even more troubling is that all Christian people everywhere in the whole world are gone. All the church buildings are empty the following Sunday. The news media is stunned. The internet goes crazy. Where have all the Christians gone? 4:30 p.m. rolls around, and I am no longer speaking to you. Family members who are Christians have also disappeared. The Bible tells us exactly where the Christian colleague of yours has gone, where all these true believers have gone. Jesus has taken them to heaven. And to learn more about this, turn with me forward in your Bible to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, and verse 16. I'm reading 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 18. And this is another letter that the same Apostle Paul has sent, but this time to a church in a place called Thessalonica. It's a real place, also in the nation of Greece, that you can visit today. I've personally been there several times. Listen to Paul describe the same future event to the Christian people at Thessalonica. So what he has said to the Corinthians, he now also says to the Thessalonians. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 18. Aha! So this confirms what Paul has already told us. When that trumpet sounds, those Christians already dead, what he calls here the dead in Christ, will rise first. And then immediately to follow, we who are alive and remain, like your colleague who loves Jesus Christ, will be caught up together, will rise together with them in perfected bodies, meeting Jesus in the clouds as he descends from heaven to greet us and take us away from the earth. Theologically, this event is called the rapture of the church, and this ends the existence of Christ's church in the world in which we now live. All Christians will be gone from the world, and the church buildings will be empty. If you have attended a church that hosts genuine Christians every single Sunday, that church will be empty after this rapture, after this event. We will be gone in perfect bodies to live with Jesus Christ. Indeed, the news media will go wild. The headline will likely be something like this: where have all the Christians gone? I'll say more about the word rapture tomorrow, but for those of you listening today who love Jesus, isn't there a joyful anticipation that at any second, as fast as you could blink your eye, this will happen? No warning, at any second. Friends, the rapture comes next. The rapture comes next. This is going to happen, dear Christians. One day, Jesus will burst forth on the cloud. We will recognize his voice and meet him in the air. But what if this rapture happens and you do not love Jesus Christ? I'll answer that third important question tomorrow. So please join me tomorrow as we continue to understand how Christ's resurrection affects us today. I look forward to talking with you all tomorrow, right here on God Is.